heart so full this morning, I don't know if I can even preach. Brother Jay, I got to think about how good God is to me. How little I deserve it. I've heard people say 1,000 times, I don't deserve this or I don't deserve that. You think of the worst possible thing that could happen to a human being. That's what I deserve. You multiply that times 10, that's what I ought to have this morning. But instead, I've got His blessings. Instead, I know His goodness, and I know His mercy, and I know His love. He knows exactly what I am. He knows my thoughts. The Bible said He knows the number of the hairs on my head. Job said He counts my footsteps. I'm saying He knows me and loves me anyway. I can't get over it. I just can't get over it. Brother BJ, hand this to Shelly if you would. Hallelujah. Let's just mind God this morning. Bless the Lord.
A lot of people don't realize it. The little Jeremiah was in surgery about 5 hours. The thing in his ear had grown together and had calcified. They had to take a drill and drill through his ear to get it open to where he could hear. And boy, it's just a miracle. They said they might have to do another surgery. Got it all done. Got it all taken care of. The Lord's good. He's just good. Amen. Am I on here, Brother James? Thank you, brother. Turn me up a little bit. Like I said, I'm so full this morning, I just like to sit and squall for a while. Somebody said, y'all are crybabies. I guess we are. When you consider how good God's been to us, it's hard not just to sit and weep. Amen? I think about how good He's been. Think about how sorry I am. It'll make you cry. Amen? Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. I try as your pastor to not just preach sermons that are good sermons. I remember as a young preacher and some of these young men, and I try to teach them in our class, you know, you hear something or you run across something and we always use that phrase, Brother Charles, that'll preach. That'll preach. Well, it'll all preach. But I not only want that that'll preach, I want that that will help. In other words, I want to preach where you live. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to give you a sermon that'll help you 6 months from now. I want to give you something that'll help you today. Right where you are. As I laid in the granny's bed and studied over things and thought about things and prayed about things, I couldn't get over how many people in our church are out of work. How many people in our church are facing difficulty. And I thought about Sister Laurie and the chemotherapy that she's going through. And I thought about Sister Ashley and the treatments that she's taken, and I thought about Miss Amanda and all the health issues she had, and I just thought about all these things, and I thought, God, please touch and help our people. The Lord gave me this scripture in Philippians chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I know most of you are looking at your watches and thinking, ain't it time to get out? We just got in. Amen. We just got in. Let me give you something this morning, and I'll try not to keep you too long, but I do want to mind the Lord this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, rejoice in the Lord. Say the next word with me.
Always.
You know what that means? Let me just translate that for you. All the time. All the time. All the time. When times are good, rejoice in the Lord. When times are bad, rejoice in the Lord. When the body is healthy, rejoice in the Lord. When the body is weak, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, he said. Then he repeats himself. And again, I say rejoice. So it is a good thing. Some people come in here and visit our church for the first time and they think we're charismatic. Let me tell you something. Baptists were shouting and giving God glory before there ever was a charismatic. Amen. Nothing wrong with giving God some glory. Amen. If it's not wrong at the ball field, it's not wrong in the church house. Somebody said it ought to be a place of, one church had a sign over the sanctuary that said, enter with silence. Now, I'm going to fix us a sign that says, enter with shouting. Amen. 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 Dried up, dead. I don't want that. I want a rejoicing crowd.
Amen.
Amen. I want that liberal crowd when they come in and visit to go, whoa. Amen. This ain't like I've been to church. Amen. Verse number 5, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse number 6, where we'll take our text this morning, he said, be careful for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication.
Yes, sir.
With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the Bible said, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to give you this morning God's answer to worry. God's answer to worry. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be real honest and raise your hand. Have you worried this week? I can put both of mine in there and tell you, yes, I have. We had a meeting Tuesday night before I flew out on Wednesday. I met with both our assistant pastors, Brother Charles and Brother Freddie, and our finance head of finance, Brother Tom King, and then our deacons, and we sat down together, and Brother Tom had a sheet and had everything we owe listed out. I hadn't been able to get, I didn't take a copy, but I didn't take a copy with me to Florida, but I could see it in my mind. Every day, I could see it, just as clear as a bell. You said, preacher, how are we doing? Well, we're $28,000 in the red right now. Boy, it got quiet. It's your church, you should know. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tonight, but it's only natural to worry over such things. But God has an answer for our worries and for our cares. There was an artist years ago, and he had the great pioneer and trailblazer Daniel Boone, and he was going to paint his portrait. And while he was setting for the portrait, he asked Daniel Boone, he said, have you ever been lost? You know, he pioneered all those trails through the Carolinas and all that, and he was an explorer, and Mr. Boone said, after he thought for a few minutes, he said, no, can't say I was ever lost. He said, but I was bewildered one time for 3 days. Amen. And I guess we all get bewildered at times and we don't know what to do. A medical doctor stated that 40%, or this was from the University of Wisconsin, stated that 40% of our worries are over things that never happened. I got to thinking about that when I read that, and I thought, that's the truth. 40% of our worries are over things that never happen. Have you ever worried about something that did not happen? Have you? Have you ever worried about something that did not happen? Like a car going to be repossessed, or you're going to get a bad report from a doctor and have to start chemo. Did you worry about that? Sure you did. It's human. 40% of our worries are over things that never happen. Ashley was having some headaches just a few weeks ago. You know the first thing the old devil said? That tumor's back. You got cancer again. Did you worry about that? Of course you did. But God says we don't have to. But yet we will. We're prone to worry, no doubt about it, but I want to give you some help when you go through those worrisome times. 40% of our worries are over things that never happen. 30% of our worries are over things that are past and could not be changed by all the worry in the world. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Said 10% of our worries are just petty worries, and 12% are needless health worries. And they stated that only 8% of the things we worry about are real and legitimate worries. 8%. Wow. If that's true, I believe it probably is. Just looking at my own life, Mark Twain said this. He said, I'm an old man and have known my troubles, but most of them never happened. That's classic Mark Twain right there. He said, I'm an old man and have known my troubles, but most of them never happened. Somebody wrote a poem, said he worried about the weather, he worried about his health, he worried about his business, and he worried about his wealth. She worried about the children, she worried about her clothes, she worried about the neighbors, and she worried about her woes. They worried about their taxes, they worried about their pets, they worried about their future, and they worried about their debts. They worried and still they worried, but alas, they worried about a lot of things that did not come to pass. Somebody said worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, but it robs today of its strength. Can I say that again? Worry does not empty tomorrow or empty tomorrow of its troubles, but it robs today of its strength. If I spend today in worry over what may or may not happen tomorrow, I have lost today. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Somebody sang a song years ago, and I think it was an old country singer, may have been Donna Fargo or somebody like that. It said, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Amen. If we get through today without major difficulty, we've done well. Amen. Worry, the description of a worried heart. Somebody said, Vance Havner, the old preacher, said worry's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it'll get you nowhere. Amen. It's like a treadmill. Give you something to do, but you ain't going nowhere. Amen. How many of you ever solved a problem by worrying? How many of you know of one situation that was ever remedied in your life because you worried about it? None, right? But yet still we worry and we worry and we worry. The description of a troubled heart. Paul said in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. At first observation, when we read that, we think that word careful means to exercise caution. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is literally, don't worry about nothing. Would you agree with me? Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry about nothing, he said. Hey, man, our hearts are loaded down. We're prone to worry, every one of us. So what does it mean to worry? Worry is a turbulent force responsible for turmoil within our heart. Amen. Worry is when the heart and the mind are in an uproar. Amen. I feel it. And you feel it. How many of you have known perfect peace? Come on, talk to me. I ain't clicking my heels over my head this morning, but I'm helping you. How many of you have ever known perfect peace? I mean that where you just went, whoo. Amen. Remember how you felt when you got saved and all your sins were gone? It just felt like a big load was lifted off and you didn't have a care in the world. Amen. What would you rather have? Would you rather have the turmoil and the worry, or would you rather lay your head on your pillow tonight and conk out like a log, man, and just sleep like a baby all night long because you ain't got a worry in the world? Amen. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do you know what that was? That's worry he was talking about. Jesus said, "Don't worry, don't worry." Why? You believe in God, believe in me. Amen. Amen. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Don't worry. Did you know worry, just the act of worrying carries consequences? I don't want to upset you this morning, but I think worry is a sin. Amen. If he said don't worry and we do worry, it's a transgression. Amen. Worry is physically destructive. Dr. S.I. McMillan wrote a book on worry, anxiety, and stress. And he, in his book, tells how that worry and anxiety and stress plays a major role in the health of our body. Some of you are sick. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I'm about to worry myself sick"? Yeah. That's not just an old saying. That's reality. He said in his book it causes disorders in our digestive system. He said it causes disorders in our circulatory system. In other words, worry will cause high blood pressure. We okay? Worry can cause heart attack. Brother Tommy lives with it and sees it as a rescue worker. They see this stuff all the time. The doctors say that more people die from worry than they do disease itself. It attacks the nervous system. It disorders our glands and internal secretions. I don't know if this is true or not, but he said that worry has an effect on allergy disorder. I don't know. Muscle joint, infections, eye disease, and skin disease. Wow. It's hard to be, I'm talking about the effects of worry. I'm talking about what's going on with some of us right now. Amen. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you feel more tired when you wake up than you did when you went to bed? Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, you felt like you've been digging ditches all night long. You know what that is? That's worry. That's worry and stress. You can't sleep when you're stressed. Well, my wife can. My wife can sleep. It don't matter what's going on. She must be closer to God than I am. But I lay my head on my pillow and my mind starts going like the power meter when you cut the dryer on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sheila's nodding her head. That thing, boy, that thing kicks into high gear. and man, I think about this and I think about that, and I start trying to pray myself to sleep, and then all those thoughts keep bombing and bombing and bombing, and I lay there for hour after hour, and I turn over this way and I turn over that way. I cut the light on and try to read a while. What am I doing? I'm worrying about all the things that I cannot change. Yeah. Amen. And you know what it's doing? It's robbing me of rest. And without rest, I cannot be physically healthy. Worry is not only physically destructive, but it's also spiritually destructive. Amen. Worry affects us in many ways spiritually. It weakens our desire for prayer and spending time in God's Word. It does. When you're worrying the most, you pray the least. Amen. I do. I believe that's true. There is not only the consequences of worry. You know what? It's hard to come in here and really worship God when you're so loaded down and you're so burdened. You didn't come in with a clean heart. You came in with all the cares of the world. You think it's your job to carry it all on your shoulder. You came in this morning and you sat down as maybe you paid your tithe and you thought, man, my light bill's behind, my car payment's due. You sit in the house of God and worry about what all's going on in your life. You can't even worship. Is there a time throughout your day, throughout your week, and this ought to be one of those times, one of those scheduled times, when we let go? That stuff will still be there when you get home. Amen. Those bills are laying right where you left them. Ain't nothing you can do about them right now. Ain't no place you can even pay them today if you wanted to. Amen. Stick your right hand out in front of you. Hold it out there. Now just mentally, I want you to put every dime you owe. Mortgage. Brother Jay said, I need a truck, not a hand. Mortgage, stick that thing in there. Light bill, power bill, gas bill, car payment, automobile insurance, homeowners insurance, property taxes. Man, this stuff piles up, don't it? Some of you kids can't wait till you get out on your own, can you? Every dime you owe, doctor bills, Ashley. Doctor bills, put them in that hand. Hold them out there. Every dime you owe, squeeze it up just like that. So y'all know where we go. Stick your left hand out there. All that cancer, all that chemo, put it in that hand. Every worry and every care you've got in your life, every health issue, everything that's disgruntled or disrupted in your family, those marriage problems, those problems with teenagers, those whatever it may be, every weight, the Bible said, that does so easily beset us. Close it up just like that. Now here's what we do when we come to church. Y'all with me? Come on.
Yeah.
Let go.
Yeah.
Did you know that's the only way you can praise God? Yeah. Is to let go of everything else. I mean, just for a little bit this morning, wouldn't it feel good just to lay it all down a while and say, I ain't got time to think about you right now, Mr. Bill. I ain't got time to think about you right now, Mr. Cancer. I ain't got time to think about you, Mr. Car Payment. I ain't got time to think about you, a wicked teenager. Right now, I'm going to put my eyes on the cross. I'm going to let go of everything else in my life, and I'm not going to worry about anything, and I'm just going to worship Him.
Yes.
Amen. You can't worship God while you're worrying. The Bible condemns worry. Oh, yeah. We just read it. Paul said, be careful for nothing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and I'm going to hurry and get you out of here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Lord said, therefore, I say unto you, now watch what he said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat? And the body more than raiment? Boy, isn't that something?
Wow. Some of you women nearly pulled your hair out this morning because you didn't have a cotton picking thing to wear. Can I get a witness, men?
Amen.
Is my wife the only one that puts on everything in the closet, stands in front of the mirror and says, I ain't got nothing to wear, and when they're done, there's a pile of clothes on the floor that high?
Amen.
He said, that breath you sucking in and blowing out, isn't that more important than what you put on that body? That body that's got health enough to walk, that body that's got health enough to clap and wave those arms in the air, isn't that more important? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, take no thought for your life. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's hard not to do.
Yeah.
Amen. That's hard not to do. We are not to worry. When we understand the consequences of worry, and we understand the condemnation of worry, to put it simply, we shouldn't worry.
Amen.
There was a little song, and it's probably a worldly song. I don't know who sung it, but several years ago, Brother B.J. Noble and Sister Shirley, they live in Alabama now, but they bought me a fish. I think I finally gave him to Micaiah. Micaiah was a little baby, and he'd come in my office, and he would sit and watch that fish. They'd have to drag him out. He'd leave crying. So I finally gave it to him. But that little fish, it was a rubber fish, and it looked like a bass mounted on a piece of wood. And you'd mash a button, and its mouth would move, and its tail would wiggle, and it'd sing. It sang several little songs. One of them was, take me to the river and chunk me in the water, and I don't know what else. But there was a Jamaican on there, kind of a what y'all call that, them drums? Reggae. It was a reggae kind of song. And here's what the song said, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Now, man, that's a pretty good motto to live by, wouldn't you say? Why don't you go to work tomorrow and just be happy? Walk in the door and say, what's up? Good morning. Everybody will want to kill you. Yeah, you know why? Because they all worried. They're worrying. I'd rather be happy, wouldn't you? I would rather laugh than cry. Ha ha. Go to the mailbox, pull them bills out and go, what you talking about? $800 due by the 15th. Lord, Lord, you ain't got a prayer. Come on. Talk to me about it. Ain't no sense in pulling your hair out. Ain't no sense in putting a pistol in your mouth. That sure ain't going to pay it unless you got a bunch of life insurance. Then your wife and her new husband can pay it. Amen. Don't worry. Be happy. Everybody try this. Y'all looking at me? Let's get Joel Osteen just for a minute. Come on. Let's just smile. Hey, man, that's the first time I've seen some of y'all smile in a long time. I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. I worry about your demeanor. I honestly do. I look at you and I think, dear God, it must be awful to live in their body. It must be awful to be you. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen. He condemns a worrying heart, but then he gives us directions for a trusting heart. He don't just tell us not to worry. He tells us how not to worry. I'm going to give you this and I'll quit. What time is it? It is 20 minutes after 11. Man. You drive four exits west and it's 20 minutes after 11. That's close enough. Amen.
Paul said, be careful for nothing. He didn't stop there. He didn't just say, don't worry about anything. It's a sin. Don't do it. What good would it do to tell you what not to do and not tell you how to not do it? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul tells us not to worry about everything, or not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. He said, don't worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Amen. I like that. I found this last night, and I thought I'd share it with you. Franz Joseph Haydn. It's who my grandson was named after. He was a celebrated Austrian composer. He was sitting in conversation with a bunch of his peers and real highfalutin people, and they got to talking about what they do when they get stressed and worried. One of them said that his recourse was to drink a bottle of wine. Another remarked that his solution was to involve himself in the company of others. But when Haydn was asked what he did, he replied that his practice was to retire to his study and to engage in prayer. Amen. What do I do, preacher, when I get worried? God's answer is prayer. Amen. You say, well, I thought you were just going to give us some real answer. I did. Sometimes we miss quit writing on yourself. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. Sometimes we're looking for the grandeur of everything. And, oh, this is great. I got a revelation from God. I just gave you a revelation from God. Oh, preacher, I had a revelation. I got one too. Pray. 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 When you don't feel like praying, pray. There's God's answer to worry right there. Get on your knees and say, God, I ain't supposed to worry. I know, but I'm worried to death. I need your help. Amen. Is that simple enough for you?
Yes,
sir. Say, preacher, I want somebody that's a little deeper in his preaching. You can't pray.
Amen. Amen.
What you gonna do? I start teaching on dispensationalism. You ain't got prayer, you sure ain't gonna get that. Textual criticism. How you gonna handle that? Y'all all right? Just nod your head. Go like it. The answer to worry is to pray. Listen, we need to take our worries to God. We're all going to worry. We're prone to. I'm not saying you shouldn't worry. You better not worry. You're going to worry. But when we do, let's get them to God and let's get them to Him quick. You ever notice the more you worry about something, the worse it gets? You don't start out worrying a whole lot. And then the worry goes, and just drizzles down to a good, happy mood. It don't work that way, does it? We get that bill in the mail and we go, I don't think as a matter of fact, I know I can't pay that. And we walk down the driveway with that bill in our hand, and the more we think about it, the worse off it gets. I come home the other day. I mean, everything happened at once. Everything. Everything. My wife got a ticket. My fault. I forget every year when I have a birthday, go buy tags. I ain't even thought about it. She called me. She's at the mall. I said, honey, you shopping yet? She said, no. I'm getting something, though. Thank you very much. There's a cop sitting in his car right now, and he's writing me a ticket. Oh. I tried to slip off and go fishing. Monday, whatever day I went to Brother Anthony's house, I tore him up over there too. Of course, it's off limits. Can't none of y'all go over there but me. Amen. I was on my way over at Brother Anthony's. I got right in front of Nebo Elementary School, that elementary school on Nebo Road. There was a cop standing in the middle of the road. He was looking at me going, pull over, pull over, pull over. I thought, oh, God, God, it must be a bomb. He walked up to my truck window and he said, sir, do you realize you go in 42 mile an hour in a school zone? I said, no. Be honest with you, I was thinking about fishing. I wasn't even looking at that speedometer. Brother Warren loaned me his John boat about 2 years ago. It's a pretty good loan, wasn't it? Never even thought about it. It's sitting on a little old trailer. It's just a John boat. And he said, son, has that trailer got a tag on it? You know what I said? I said, you know what? I don't know. I said, I borrowed this from one of my deacons. That's truth. You know what he said? Your deacon ain't getting the ticket. So my wife got one ticket. I got two. I have to outdo her every time. And then somebody informed me, in a school zone, the fine is doubled. Can y'all say love offering? I carried my two tickets home, laid them on top of her two tickets, and the freezer door won't shut. Ice coming out of the freezer. I don't know. You know what? I ain't got time to worry about that stuff. Amen. I'm going to have to trust the Lord. That's what the Lord said. I started praying about them tickets. I said, God, I don't know what to do. He said, you got them, you pay them. One of my best friends I grew up with just been voted in as the sheriff of Paulding County, and I started to call him. And the Holy Spirit got hold of me and said, that ain't right. His job is to serve and protect, not fix your ticket. Y'all pray for me, I'm still tempted. He may be listening to this sermon on the radio. Saying, preacher, you outside your mind, pay them tickets. I sent them boys out there to ride them because we need the money, amen. Paul said, in everything by prayer and supplication. The psalmist said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now watch this. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Why? He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You ought to mark that one in your Bible. That's Psalms 55 and verse number 22. In 2 Kings, I'm almost done, trust me. In 2 Kings, we read of a letter that Hezekiah received. It was telling King Hezekiah that the king of Assyria was posing a threat. But yet in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 14, watch what Hezekiah did. The Bible said, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Yeah. Why? You know what Hezekiah did? He took what we would normally have worried about and he laid it out before God. Amen. You ever laid your bills out before God? Have you? It's not a bad thing to do. God, I owe. It's off to work I go. Amen. That's what Hezekiah did. He prayed about it. He just simply prayed about it. The songwriter put it this way. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend. That's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. But tell it to Jesus alone. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you prayed about it? He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We can bring the things
to God that worry us. And we can come to God with thanksgiving. Why? What are we thanking Him for? That we can leave our worries with Him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, He did say, casting all thy care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's available. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. We do have a heavenly Father. And He does care for us. Amen? Oh my. If we could just know the delight of a heart that's at peace this morning. Listen, I'm going to stop right there. Brother Todd, y'all come on. Joseph Scriven wrote one of those old hymns, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. In that song he said, oh what peace we often forfeit. Oh what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hear what he said, what peace we often forfeit. We just give it up. It's ours. It's our peace to have. But we give it up because we refuse to pray. What needless pain we often bear simply because we won't bring everything to God in prayer. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I preached too long. But they sang a long time and a bunch of y'all came to the altar. Some of you testified, so don't blame it all on me. Amen. Listen to me carefully this morning. Some of our bus workers are quietly slipping out. That's okay. Are you worried? I'll be honest with you. I had to pray about this one before I could preach it. I'm not up here just telling you what you ought to do. I'm telling me what I ought to do. Brother Tom, wherever he went, I don't see him. We're going to take them bills. We're just going to lay them out for God. I've had two very wealthy men personally tell me. I've had another very wealthy man tell one of our other men, help's coming. Help's coming. I'm about ready to say, quit telling me and write a check. Amen. But I'm just going to give this thing to God. You know what? If I've got to worry, I would rather worry about Miss Roberts' health, pray for her, Sister Ashley. I sure don't want to be worried over something stupid as money. You know what? If you had a great big old pile of it, ain't going to be long, I believe, till it won't be worth the paper it's wrote on. You say, oh, that'll never happen. That's what them Confederates thought too. Let's not worry about money. Let's worry about whether or not our hearts are right with God. We're going to worry, let's worry about whether or not our children are saved. And let's take those things to God and leave them there. If you come in worried this morning, why don't you just bring that worry? Just bring it on right now as they get ready to sing. Just come on, grab up all that worry you got. Bring it all, every last bit of it. And leave it right here this morning. Y'all go ahead and sing. God